The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Intel Report. I am your host, John Stattmiller, with you on this 8th day of February 2018. And I would like to say that we have an absolute handle on the nation's economy, and we can explain in sordid detail what the heck is going on. But save that for a second, because we're in a territory we have never been in before. So it makes the crystal ball predictions a little hard to do. Today on the stock market, the Dow dropped paltry 1,032 points. And people are now starting to ask the question, okay, is the crisis of 2018 finally arrived? I don't know. But this is what we do know. We haven't seen this kind of bloodbath on Wall Street since the great financial crisis of 2008. And just call that the biggest ripoff ever witnessed by mankind. Nobody got charged. Nobody went to jail. Yeah. Prior to this week, the largest single-day decline for the Dow that we had ever seen was 777 points. And that record was absolutely shattered on Monday when the Dow fell 1,175 points. And on Thursday, the Dow dropped another 1,032 points, that being today. Now, this was the third greatest decline, greater than 500 points, I should say, within the last five trading days. And the Dow is poised to post its worst week since the dark days of October of 2008. So the question everybody's asking now, is this just a correction, or is the financial crisis of 2018 finally arrived? Now, there's the talking heads out there offering little gems. They've got their steaming pile of hudda that they'll shovel at you every day. And you've got to dig through that pile to find the little gem that hasn't been contaminated. This is what CNBC said. There's a not-so-quiet rebellion going on in the bond market, and it threatens to take the 10-year yield above 3%, much faster than expected just a few weeks ago. Now, their take on this, well, a bumpy ride for the stock market will continue. Now, think of this, folks. We're talking about bonds and treasuries, that this is how the government used to fund itself. No, not by taking tax money in. By selling off treasuries and bonds, and then turning around and asking the Fed Reserve, saying, okay, we got the surety here, give us the cash. The problem is, nobody wants to touch the bonds or the treasuries because what? The yield is so low. And inflation is surpassing the bond yield. So it's not only it's just not a wash, it's a negative. And this is what have people upset. You know, the people on Wall Street, they don't know whether to wind their wristwatch or what to do. And without a doubt, analysts, a guy by the name of Gundlach, and I've seen some of his stuff before, and he's one of the pitchers for Wall Street, but he's one of these honest pitchers, and I think that's how he's kept his clientele. He clearly warned that there would be big trouble for stocks as the bond yield rose. Now, remember the normal scenario, if you can call this normal, that the stock market, remember when it was at 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 on the Dow, and there was a decent yield on the treasuries, and, you know, take your pick, buy some stocks, buy some treasury, buy some bonds, you know, whatever. You know, if, and I can't imagine being that rich where I would take a risk parking any money with these clowns, especially knowing what happened after 2008 and during that year. Gundlach says that he had correctly predicted that the 10-year U.S. Treasury note, the yield went above 2.63%, and that sent shivers in the stock investors. He says clearly the market gets shaky when the 10-year hits 2.85%. Now, consider what I just said. A yield on a bond that's not even yet keeping up with inflation that the government says doesn't exist. Yeah, that's because they spend money like it's going out of town and it's not really our money. They're just further putting us in debt with it. He says it makes one consider what would be coming if the 10s pushed over 3 and the 30, the 30-year, he's talking about the term of the notes here, the 10-year pushed over 3 and the 30-year bond over 3.22%. Now imagine holding a 30-year bond, folks, and the yield was 3.22. I mean, I'm doing the rough calculations, not based on real figures, but I know inflation is, devaluation of the dollar is continuing day after day after day, which you don't ever hear of, do you? You might hear about stock market rising, commodity prices going up and down, but you never hear the value of the dollar gaining anything, do you?
Right.
Well, moving forward, it'll be important to keep a close eye on the bond yields. Every time they start going back up, we're likely to see stock prices go down. We're in a vicious cycle here, and if the yields go up, you have to sell stocks. If you sell the stocks and they crash, yields come back down. The bond market struggle to keep price in higher interest rates has been kneecapped each time the stock market reacts and sells off. Now, it's fascinating to me to watch them try to make sense of the gyrations or just the absolute shakiness of the markets. It's and it's going to get a whole lot, if you like cheap reality thrill TV, just tune into a financial show now. And watch the talking head looking right into the camera, stumbling for the next stupid thing to say. They know it's stupid because they really know what's going on in the markets, but they're not going to, they're out there, they're the pitchmen. They're not going to tell the public. Hell, if they come out and tell the public, the stock market would crash tomorrow. So here, the sleigh ride continues. And somebody noticed this, as I did the other day. I think I mentioned it on air, that supposedly the quantitative easing tapered off and ended last year, supposedly. Well, is this just a coincidence? The Dow goes from being 567 points down to 560 points up at the closing bell. Seriously? We were expecting that Tuesday would be an unusual day on Wall Street. And I was watching the market a couple of days ago, and that was definitely the case. At the low point, the Dow Jones was down 567 points, but at the closing bell, it was up exactly 567 points. Folks, I'm going to tell you what. If you believe in tooth fairies and Santa Claus and throw in the Easter Bunny, I might give you that that might have been a long shot coincidence. But no, I would pretty much call that the reactivated plunge protection team. At the opening bell, stock prices collapsed and many were concerned that we were heading into another really bad day for investors. According to CNBC, the Dow was down 567 points. During the intraday trading. And it opened with a big whoosh lower, then rallied all the way back. As of 3:41 p.m., Eastern time, the Dow was 600 points higher and the trading at the new season high. And when the markets closed, it closed at exactly 567 points back up. Now, it's not unusual to see market swings. And they call this area that we're in now high volatility. Isn't that a nice term? High volatility. That's like that was a new brand of rated gasoline. You have regular, and you have super, and then you can move into high volatility fuel. That sounds explosive, doesn't it? Yeah. Well, it continues, and without going into all the rest of the absurdity and trying to get people's idea. I mean, these are people that this is their game. This is what they do day in and day out. They're sitting there and they can't quite figure out what to tell people to do. And the mantra I've heard all week is, well, when's it a good time to buy, to take advantage of the market being down? Huh? Wait a minute. I'm a high wire walker. I'm halfway across the wire. I'm a couple hundred feet off the ground with no net. And I'm walking, and all of a sudden, my rope starts to fray. Now, what's going through my mind? Well, if you're at the halfway point, you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. But if you notice this fraying and you just start your little journey across the chasm and you start to see the rope fray, what's going to be your natural inclination to do? Well, if you're sane, you would probably turn around and walk back to your little platform to be safe. These people don't even know what to tell people, how to advise them. You know, in a volatile market such as this, how can you, with a straight face, say to people, okay, well, you know, when the market bottoms out here, it's time to buy. But wait a minute. Who fixed the rope? Who stopped the fraying? So you get me halfway across this high wire, and it snaps, and there's no net. There's no safety, nothing. There's a dead body bounce. This is what they can't answer, and they're just pensively sitting there trying to look important, trying to look as if they know what the hell they're talking about, but they really don't. Absolutely fascinating. By the way, oh gosh, does this have to be a Trump bashing segment of the show? Okay, don't roll your eyes and shrug your shoulders. That did not help. You know, I think some people are afraid to criticize Trump because they don't want him to fail. Should I put my rose-colored glasses on while I'm talking to Santa Claus? Will it make it more real? Evidently, he wants war with North Korea, from all indicators I'm seeing right now. He wants war. The Middle East that he said that we should be out of, he recommitted to Afghanistan. We now have active bombing campaigns and against, guess who, in Syria. That's right, the Assad forces. Oh, by the way, did I neglect to mention that Israel is now taking part in the bombing inside Syria? A sovereign country that's not at war with anybody has not declared war on anybody. And you've got two sovereign countries right now just bombing the crap out of them. Wow. Joe in Rhode Island. Hello, Joe.
Hi, John.
Yes, sir.
John, you took my thunder there. I was going to ask you what the side effects of the new sanctions by the United States would be on North Korea.
I don't think it really matters that much to North Korea because they've been sanctioned since I think they've become North Korea. You know, another UN operations, you know, let's not get the United Nations involved. If there is something going on there, just let the country figure it out. Let them clean up their own mess, elect their own politicians to continue governance for their own country. We couldn't do that. They figured it out in Vietnam. Vietnam is now reunited, as everybody has noticed. But North Korea, no.
It's interesting that China had their ships boarded last week by the United States and checked what kind of cargo they were carrying to North Korea. And I think that's the reason for the new sanctions. But, you know, it does seem to be, somebody trying to pick a fight. Also, John, I'm looking for a time when the countries of the world will run into a financial crisis. And I think that that's the reason that the instability around the world of all the economies is really ratcheted up now, because I think they're looking for a one world currency. There's something that you can put your fingers into.
Well, and but, okay,
they're really looking for something.
Yeah, Joe. Yeah, they've been looking for that for a while. That was the basis. That was how everybody was to trade in their new world order. Once we knocked down the national tendencies and protectionism, it used to be called. That was a nasty word. Protectionism, and they were well on their way. They created their European Union. We had the North American Union clicking along just nicely, and then something happened on the way to their unity factor. It failed. The European Union started to fall apart. England said, you know what, we're the hell out of here. We want to exit, hence the Brexit, the British exit out of the European Union. George Soros, by the way, doesn't think that's a very good idea, and he's working hard to keep the Brits in the European Union, but everybody has figured it out that the model that they did for as many diverse countries and economies, that they were going to do a one currency fits all, was doomed right from the start. And a lot of the naysayers said, okay, go ahead and do it, but I'm going to tell you where this is going to end up. And it did exactly that. It's disharmonious, it's disunity at its finest, and they did not move quick enough. The New World Orderites, Joe, screwed up. Because this thing was supposed to be sewed up a long time ago. They were supposed to give us the European model. We were supposed to bring Canada, United States, Mexico, and whoever else wanted to join in this little conflagration of false unity for what purpose. And they just fell behind, and they missed their mark.
I don't think they know where they want to go now, John, to tell you the truth. I think they're really... waiting for a savior or a messiah to come.
Well, I think what they're going to do is has been done before. When something like this happens in world markets, you know, what did we do at the end of the what did we do at the end of the Great Depression, moving into 1940, 1941? We found us a world war we can get involved with. All right. I think what's happening now, they pulled that old 8-track out of the shelf. They've dusted it off. They put it in the player, but it's broke. Because I think we've moved past the point that people are actually going to believe that during these market gyrations and all the countries going belly up and needing cash so badly, that somehow that war is the way to go. I don't think it's sellable now.
No, I don't think so either, John. I think you're right.
Yeah,
I think just the opposite of war is their banking ticket. They're going to try to create a peaceful one world system through the religious system. I think their religious system is their only last grasp.
Well, even that, they're behind the times on that, because you need to sway people, and a lot of people have walked away from the churches. So there went your control over that. It would be a little too little too late for them to religious. And they tried this, Joe. If you were looking at the Middle East and all their gyrations over the years and the attacks that we were doing and everything else, it was all about religious factions and what they wanted. Well, that's pretty much dropped off the map now. They're not even talking about religious disparities and how they hate each other. All created by God, mind you.
Yep.
All right. Hey, Joe, thanks for your call, my friend.
All right, John, thank you.
Take care. No reason to get excited. For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions, in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
Well, as I have told people, and I knew this was going on. I didn't know how many and who and where and what and why, but I just kept my ear to the ground, listening very intently. And I have told this listening audience that people were going into debt to buy Bitcoin. Because after all, you know, it's harder to jump on a fast-moving train. It's easier to get on at the station when it stopped. But to some people, you know, the meteoric rise of Bitcoin was the thing to do no matter what the cost. Well, study finds that 22% of Bitcoin investors are using debt to fund their investments. Investing in cryptocurrencies such as Bitcoin, Ripple, Ethereum, and Litecoin is extremely risky, and experts all over the country are warning that people should only invest what they're willing to lose. Kind of like what I used to say about Vegas. Want to have a good time gambling in Vegas? Walk in with an amount of money that you're willing to lose, because chances are that's exactly what you're going to do. Forget the anxiety and the tensions. Once that itty-bitty pile is gone, get up out of the seat, get another free drink from the waitress, and get out of town. The only thing that really stays in Vegas is your money. Unfortunately, many are getting swept up in the current euphoria surrounding the cryptocurrencies, and they're not listening to very sound advice. A disturbing new survey that was just released found that 22% of all Bitcoin investors are either directly or indirectly investing in Bitcoin with borrowed money. According to LendEDU, a personal loan research firm, more than 18% of Bitcoin investors have used borrowed money to trade the cryptocurrency. In a global survey of 672 active Bitcoin investors, researchers asked traders the methods that they use to fund their cryptocurrency trading accounts. The majority of the investors use banking systems such as credit cards and ACH transfers to fund their accounts. But 22% of the traders revealed that they have not paid off their credit and debit card debt after purchasing, credit card debt after purchasing Bitcoin and effectively investing in the cryptocurrency with borrowed money. Now, unless you got the free pass card, what is attached to credit cards? That's right, interest. So you are borrowing this money at interest for Bitcoin, crossing your fingers that Bitcoin doesn't drop and it continues to go up. Because guess what, at that point in time, that's right, you are negative. Credit card debt is one of the most toxic forms of debt that you could ever carry. And by the way, let me stop and digress here for a second. Have you noticed the interest rates on these cards? Have you taken a look? Some of these cards, and I have not, I thought this was regulated by law, but some of these cards are bouncing around 30% interest. 30%. And I couldn't imagine going into a Bitcoin market, having that 30% hanging over my head, and then watching Bitcoin fall. Death by 1,000 cuts? Speed up the process. A death by 500. Now, cryptocurrencies went on an epic run in 2017. There's no doubt there. But there's absolutely no guarantee that that will continue anywhere close to that in 2018. In fact, there are very real possibilities that we could see the cryptocurrency crash. And there are many investors that are actually eagerly anticipating one. Now, I'll ask the question again. What is the U.S. dollar backed by? Nothing. Promise to pay. It's a dead instrument. What is backing Bitcoin? Or the aforementioned Litecoin and whatever else? Answer to that question, nothing. And I swear somebody had left a message here at the office on my extension. And the guy was pretty foul. You know, you're an enemy of Bitcoin and you're a bastard and blah, 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 blah. Really? Why hasn't anybody asked me the question, have you invested in Bitcoin? The only questions I've gotten about this is, do you take Bitcoin for donations? No, I'm not in a Bitcoin market. I don't have a Bitcoin account. And then I would politely ask if you can transfer those, if you cash them out into U.S. funds and get it over to... But I never hear from these people. So it led me to believe that either they were just fake donors or some other reason. I'm not quite sure. Well, as many traders expected, it appears that the institutions are using the future product to slowly but surely build a short position in Bitcoin. According to the CFTC, non-commercial traders held a net short position of around 30 million as of Tuesday, December 26th, going last year, around half of the total open market. Separately, the traders in the financial futures breakdown provided the CFTC showed that the leveraged funds category that consists largely of hedge funds and various money managers had a short at around 14 million, or around a quarter of the total open interest. In other words, speculative investors have used the future contracts to establish Bitcoin shorts. And here the stuff, same tactic, different arena.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Okay, nurse, let's get this man to the ER, stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation, and Angioprim is the result. A safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones, please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now for a special radio offer from Angioprim. That's angioprim.com/radio. A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M. Angioprim.com/radio or call 877-882-7221. That's 877-882-7221.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
About 6 months ago, my wife bought Extendivite. She didn't tell me she was giving it to me. So after about 3 days, I said, maybe the weather's changed or something. I said, my legs feel really good. And she goes, well, I've been giving you this stuff, and it was the Extendivite. And you know that I'm about 75% better. I can actually climb stairs now, and I can get up out of chairs. I can even get down, and, I got to work under a table or a computer table and work on a computer. I can actually get back up off the floor. You know what? It's an amazing product. I didn't think anything short of having surgery was going to help.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
And let's go get Syria. We're occupying a country that we weren't invited into, and Syria can't seem to run us the hell out of there. The U.S.-led coalition in Syria has attacked pro-Damascus forces in what it claims to be a defensive strike in the country's eastern province of Deir al-Zawar. The Syrian pro-regime forces initiated an unprovoked attack, that's the way it reads, against the well-established Syrian Democratic Forces in their headquarters on February 7th, said in a statement released by the U.S. Central Command early on Thursday. Understand the verbiage and whence it came. Pro-Syrian regime forces initiated an unprovoked attack against the well-established Syrian Democratic Forces. Whose country is this anyhow? The statement noted that coalition service members were accompanying the so-called SDF while they came under attack. Reuters later cited a U.S. official as saying, on condition of anonymity, love that term, that over 100 pro-government forces had been killed in the assault. The U.S. has around 2,000 military personnel in northern Syria supporting the SDF, which is an alliance of militias in northern eastern Syria and largely dominated by the Kurdish People Protection Units. Yes, they even have a name now. Isn't that fascinating? I've lost track of all of them. It added that the coalition conducted strikes against attacking forces to repel the act of aggression against partners engaged in the global coalition's defeat Daesh mission. The statement also claimed that the U.S.-led attack was in self-defense. The U.S.-led attack was in self-defense. Who's the enemy? And again, why are you here? If you were worried about being attacked, why the hell are you here? The U.S. and its allies have been bombarding what they call Daesh positions inside Syria since September of 2014 without any authorization from the Damascus government or even a U.N. mandate, which, by the way, warning, U.N. wants to come in. I kid you not. The U.N. operation in Korea, the U.N. operation in Vietnam. And this has been basically a UN cutout, if you will, operations for the last 14 years in the Middle East. We just don't fly the UN flag. We've got the coalition forces, and we make up reasons to go in and invade and kill and maim and rob and steal and do all that other stuff. But the UN is now sniffing around and making statements that, you know, maybe there should be two states inside of Syria. Really? The strikes, however, have on many occasions resulted in civilian casualties and failed to fulfill their declared aim of countering terrorism. The Syrian Foreign Ministry on several occasions written to the UN complaining that the U.S. is flagrantly violating the sovereignty of Syria. Yeah, it's what the rest of the world knows and has known for a long time, that they're flagrantly violating the sovereignty of Syria by targeting residential neighborhoods. They shouldn't even be there in the first place. We're combating terrorism. No, we're making the terrorism. That's what we're doing. We're creating terrorism. We're using that as an excuse to build the police state against these nasty terrorists. Let me ask the obvious, simple question here. And it's one of these questions that really don't require an answer. It's called rhetorical. Did President Saddam Hussein attack America? Did Bashar al-Assad in Syria attack America? Has Iran attacked America? Muammar Gaddafi's Libya, did they attack America? So how, by any stretch of the imaginings and language used, can you say that the Middle East and the respective countries over there threaten our national sovereignty? They don't. And these madcap fools, huh. Well, I'll get into that in a little bit here. Let me take Mark in Florida. Hello, Mark.
Hello, John.
Hi.
I hope I'm coming clear. He was talking about Bitcoin. I wanted to offer my thoughts on it. I'm not a pro-Bitcoiner. But the idea of having... And for Bitcoin, I don't like the part where you got to go through a middleman. Like if I wanted to trade Bitcoin with you, well, we got to go through a miner that takes a fee before it gets to you. So I don't like, there's no arm's length here.
Yeah.
Which is what I don't like about it. But as far as a medium of trade, it has as much use, I believe, as the dollar or gold or silver. Because they're all of them's value is nothing more than tradition.
Mark, I don't know what's up with your phone, but your voice is fading and trailing off badly.
Is this better?
I don't know. Keep talking. You just said three words.
Okay. Yeah, that's true. but they all seem to be. Like gold or silver, it has no real value unless whoever you're trading with sees value in it. It's all based on belief or tradition.
Well, but Mark, okay, excuse me for interrupting you, but it's had the value, and people have recognized this as being a monetary trading element, if you will. for 6,000 years. So this is not a new idea.
I agree. So silver and gold had 6,000 years.
Yeah.
Well, we've just come to the computer age. Maybe or maybe not. Bitcoin or something will have a tradition that runs.
Okay, but now you're comparing watermelons with grapes. Money is money. This is what has been regarded as money. The rest of the world has been sold this idea that debt or cryptocurrency somehow has value. Well, it does if you declare it does, but when you find out there's really nothing behind it and up it disappears like a fart in a Texas windstorm, guess what? It doesn't have value. But gold and silver always has. Gold and silver has never went negative, has never been worth nothing. And since your computer age that you just mentioned, it was much easier to manipulate the commodity, they like to call it a commodity market now, not the real money market. It's faster and easier for them to manipulate it, but it still has real value, and to the point they're so afraid of it, they've been suppressing it. Go talk to somebody that's been trading on the COMEX and see what they say about it.
No, I would say that what you're describing is a tradition that gold and silver has had value because kings and queens have required it to, or because the average man has accepted it without being forced to.
Okay.
I mean, I agree that it has a tradition of thousands and thousands of years, but why? Because we've been trained to believe it? I mean, they got everything. What has value is an egg that you can eat. And if you had a choice, if you're starving, you're not going to want silver. You're going to want value with the egg.
Okay, so you've just magically, Mark, moved into the realm that nothing is nothing anymore. And it's all up for subjectivity, and it's all up to the whim of somebody's different idea that'll destroy the original idea. If I'm reading you correctly, and excuse me if I am.
Well, that doesn't sound that doesn't sound absurd at all, John. But if you break it down to the very foundation. Actually, what has forced gold and silver upon man?
It wasn't forced. It was accepted and it was traded. It wasn't forced on anybody. You could choose to not strike your coin in gold or silver, or you could choose to stamp it in pot metal or whatever. You could use a tally stick. You could use any number of different... And all of this is a standard of which to set a value so people could trade amongst each other. Nobody was ever forced to use gold and silver, ever. So this wasn't foisted or hoisted on somebody. They found other ways even before gold and silver was accepted as money in a trading medium, there were other ways to trade, value for value. And the value of something is set simply at this. It's what people are willing to give you.
And what you're willing to accept.
Well, yeah, it's like...
A reasoned man would accept something that he could move on to something else. So...
Well, Mark, I'm not following your logic here. I mean, you're leading me up to a point and then you're just really falling off the cliff.
Well, if I accept silver, I've accepted it because... It can serve me another purpose. So it does have a use.
It only has one purpose. It only has, what other purpose does it have? Except as a unit that's stable, that says and declares a value. What other purpose is there of silver or gold? Now, you can talk about converting it to something else. You can talk about, you know, because the question, if you remember over the years, Mark, about... Well, you know, gold and silver, you know, in order to spend it, there's not a lot of people out there trading in gold and silver. They're not exchanging gold and silver with each other. Well, that's tantamount to saying I got a $20 bill and I'm going to come up to a stranger and say, hey, I want to trade $20 with you. It was a safe way in which to conduct your business because there was a set value. You know, they You know, there was one time, what was the story about Jesus and the money changers in there? And the people would shave the coins and do all kinds of dastardly things. The little thieves had entered the trading temple, so to speak. And that's the one time he got really upset and recorded history. Is he didn't like the thieves because he understood what that wrought. Once you debase and debauch the trading that keeps honest men honest, everything else is up for grabs. Mark, I
that
think
that is true.
Yeah. Yeah. Anything else, Mark?
I would say that. Yeah, I would say it is true that there needs to be a good standard for honest men to be honest with other men. and we don't even have that today in gold and silver with the manipulating that's going through. So
yeah,
I know everything's being manipulated.
And my argument is, and until the world recognizes, and especially, you know, we can't change the world, but we can change what we do. And there have been quiet whispering going on in the dark corners and recesses. And they've been saying, okay, wait a minute. Could we back a U.S. dollar by gold and silver? The quiet whispers are actually starting to ask that question. And why are they doing that? For the same damn reason these central banks are buying gold and silver. Now, these are the purveyors of the funny money crap. So what do? When they have money to spend, their quote-unquote money, they buy gold and silver. Remember, Mark,
Yeah. Follow
the money. I appreciate your call, sir. Thank you. Larry in Washington. Hello, Larry.
Hello, John.
Hey, you sound like you're a million miles away from the phone.
Pardon me?
I said it sounds like you're a million miles away from the phone.
Oh, sorry. One little comment. I disagree with your belief that Bitcoin and Federal Reserve notes are just the same.
I didn't say that. Larry, you be careful of putting words in my mouth.
Let me rephrase that.
Okay, rephrase that, sir.
That you said were not backed by anything.
Bingo.
Okay. Now, there's some of us, and you had a gentleman on your station last year, Clint Richards, that we believe that you, John Stadtmiller, are a commodity at birth, and that your birth certificate is collateral. And I've heard, I want to say Reagan, pledging all property, both public and domestic, against the national debt. Now, if we are collateral, that's more backing than Bitcoin.
Okay, Larry, I understand what you're saying, but it's making absolutely no sense to me. It isn't. So you're saying... Okay. Go ahead.
I'm just saying that you said that the Federal Reserve note and Bitcoin are basically non-backed. Well, the Bitcoin is backed by a bunch of hype, and the Federal Reserve note is backed because of the collateral you and I, at birth, and that birth certificate, put you in a commodity market, henceforth, you are value against the Federal Reserve note.
Okay, so if I'm understanding you correctly, it's pretty much what the funny money people, when they struck up their private corporation and threw their doors open for business in 1913 in this country. What we had is a move by those very same bankers to introduce a bill called the Internal Revenue Service. And for years and years and years, there was pretty much no income tax owed at all. Why? Because there wasn't any debt buildup. What that was their insurance policy, and the banks always like insurance, don't they? That was their insurance policy in case, you know, the borrowing got a little too great, that we had to have some kind of return here and faith in the borrower. So, ergo, let's create the IRS. Now, I understand your point about you know, commercializing the birth certificate. You know, let's prop something up. Future earnings of that person, da-da-da, taxpayer pays taxes, and that's their worth. It's pretty much all the government looks at you as being a taxable commodity, or at least your labor. Okay?
Right.
Right. No, I get that. But it's still based on what? It's still crap. It's another matrixed item that they have set up, and they've run with that for a number of years.
Well, it's based on deception and fraud.
Bingo. That's the words. Thank you. Those are the words.
The 1792 Coinage Act of the United States talked about what a dollar was, yep. And I've never seen an amendment that disagrees with what a dollar is.
And they can't argue it. Why? Because, well, that would bring attention to it. And if it was actually discussed that, you know, that's part of the duty of Congress to set the, you know, the value and thereof and the coinage and all that stuff, well, then the question might follow, then what are these banknotes? What is this inflation, and why does my dollar not buy squat anymore? And then the sane exchanges and questions might ensue.
I got to ask you a question, John.
I got to answer it. If you got to be that earnest, Larry.
Okay.
All right.
Do you have a lot of hate?
Have a lot of who?
Hate. H-A-T-E.
Oh, I thought you said hey. I was thinking, no. I don't have a lot. No, I don't. Why?
I just think that after hearing this, what is being done to us, to your prosperity, to their prosperity, and not hate people that you know that are in charge, is pretty hard for me not to believe.
Okay, so you're saying I'm a hater, but I'm not admitting it? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm saying that I don't know how you can differentiate the terror that's being struck all over the world by the United States,
yeah,
and right here in the States,
yeah,
and not hate the people that you know that are doing this, and they're not doing this just because of stupidity.
Okay, so you're saying that my natural reaction, or John Stattmiller, the natural response would be to hate them?
Yeah.
No, I pity them. Is more the case. I do. I don't hate them any more than I would hate a dog that got rabies, that had to be put down. And the emotional charge that's often connected with this sometimes clouds judgment. And I've been staying pretty cool about this because it dawned on me one day, you know, to hate, that draws up a real negative emotion. And what does it serve? What purpose does that serve? Your objectivity pretty much flies out the window. I don't even like getting angry on air anymore. I mean, it's true that when you have a burst of anger, the truth will come flying out of your mouth at Mach 3 with its hair on fire. Or you get somebody drunk and probably they're going to tell you the truth because you erase that restriction up there in the front of your head. But no, I can't say that I hate them. Do I wish them into non-existence? Yeah, that'd be okay. But do I hate them? Not any more than I hate an individual thug in the inner city, a little murderous, gang-banging, drug-dealing asshat that just offed somebody the other day to get in the slum country club, if you will. I don't see where that hate serves any purpose whatsoever. I just look at it, not in a dispassionate way, but I look at it for what it is. You know, and without all the emotional wrangling and tangling and all that stuff, I still shake my head. I still know that it's wrong, but I'm not going. You need two to tango. This is what always fascinates me about these demonstrations and the two opposing forces coming together with signs that they use as clubs, and they're standing there screaming at each other. It accomplishes nothing.
The yin and the yang. I understand that.
Yeah, yeah. So at any rate, there it is. Got to go.
And I just wanted to ask.
All right. Well, I just had to answer because you had to ask so earnestly. Mikey, refresh my screen, please.
Refresh.
I'm sorry? What do you mean, what's wrong with it? Take a look at my blank screen and you tell me what's wrong with it. Blame it on something else. It's not you. Well, just tell me who the next caller is then. Mike in Colorado. Hello, Mike. What must I answer for you?
Hey, John, real quick. People forget that we use gold and silver because they're noble metals.
Well, but that's a definition as well. What the hell does noble mean?
I can make a bullet and shoot down that wheel roof, and if I dig it out of him, I'll remelt it, and unless I hit a bone, it's going to be the exact same amount that I forged it in the first time.
I hope to hell you're not using gold bullets and you're using silver bullets because they're cheaper.
Well, people forget that, and they just think it's some bygone, you know, that's what they used to do. It's because our founders were way smarter than our current leaders.
Yeah, yeah.
So I appreciate the conversation.
Thank you, Mike. I appreciate your
call. Have a good day, buddy.
Thanks. Ken in New York. Hello, Ken.
In my call, I think I can point out a definitive difference between two worthless currencies like the dollar and the Bitcoin.
Okay.
And I think if you screw around with the Bitcoin, nothing is much likely to happen to you. But if you start screwing around with the dollar too much, I think the wheels might come off your car, your engine might blow out of the off the hood, your plane might fall out of the sky, and guns will be pointed at you.
Yeah, but that still doesn't quite cover it, does it?
And,
you know, like I said,
I thought it would help.
No, Ken, I'm telling you, I'm just sitting back here, and I'm in rapt fascination at what I'm seeing going on, because we are in a whole new, fresh arena of looking around going, what the hell is going on? And we've got to let this stuff, the dust settle, and we've got to try to piece this stuff together. Sometimes I'm at a loss for words because I'm going, I've never seen this before. So how do you make sense? We know why it's going awry. We know the games that they play. We know what they've invented. We know what they manipulate. We know how they steal. But there's new added things given to us on a daily basis. And it's like, what the hell is this now? Yeah.
You know, as for myself, I prefer silver. I for several reasons, and one of them is because I've been in electronics, so I know the value of silver in electronics.
Yeah.
Gold, too, used as contact.
Yeah.
And I think it's a lot easier for people to grasp if you give them a quarter and you show them the difference, you know, by turning on the side, one's copper and the other one's real silver.
Yeah, huh?
I think it's easier to grasp, and there isn't too much of a difference involved there.
But I'm going to tell you what. Just watching people and how round their eyes get when you drop an ounce of gold in front of them, it's a little bit different than dropping an ounce of silver, isn't it?
Oh, I understand that, but yeah. I'm talking about if you're in a position where you know, we're talking about buying a loaf of bread or trading for eggs or something, you know, something of that nature.
Well, you just
all right.
Yeah, all you do at that point is just transfer that into the local tribal money and whatever they're using and, you know, go from there. All right, Ken, I appreciate we're out
Thank
of time.
You.
We're out of, and I appreciate your call. Thank you so much. Betty, I'm sorry I couldn't get to you. I wish you would have called a little bit earlier, dear. Ladies and gentlemen, help support the network. I need to survive another day to try to figure out what the heck is going on. We'll see you tomorrow.
Accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it. at aroutfitting.com.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.